evening and welcome to episode 464 of the Jesnet podcast. I'm your host tonight, I'm John McCallum. Jesnet, of course, is the independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans, where the content is completely free. And it's not just a podcast. We have a Jesnet, we have a friendly forum, there are articles, there's obviously social media, and it's a great history archive that's worth a while. If you enjoy the podcast, if you've seen any of the ones in the past, and you want to catch up on any ones in the future, we would ask you to subscribe. We're on a whole variety of platforms. And likewise, you know, share amongst your friends. It would be nice to bring in some new viewers. Now, we're going to have a chat tonight about the St Mirren game today and how that went and our views on it. Perhaps we'll have a little look towards the rest of the season and how that might all play out after the weekend's fixtures. And Jamie's got a little bit of advertising to do at the end as well. So stay tuned for that, if nothing else. Before we do any of that, I just need to mention our very good sponsors, who I think we've probably spoken about on a few occasions in the past, but it does no harm for us to just remind everybody that Forest Precision Engineering are our main sponsors here at Jesnet. They are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they have been a big commercial sponsor of Rangers for many, many years. And we're delighted that they are backing our podcast again. You can find out more about them at Forest Precision Engineering or forestprecisioneng.com. And if precision engineering isn't something you need, perhaps you might be more interested in the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, which is a hospitality area in the main stand. And for more information about that, how to book it and find out if it's available, contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Let's just jump straight in, Jamie. Have you had much of a week? How's it all been going for you?
Yeah, busy. Got stuff on the go. Busy day today. Had the family round, mother-in-law, my mum, and obviously mother half, my wife, my wee fella, all round for dinner today after watching that game.
Didn't put you off your dinner.
It was an ugly win, let's say that, John, and it wasn't the best game I've seen in my life, but given the fact that our away form has been absolutely woeful of recent times, we'll take the 3 points because it keeps us in the hunt on hope.
Yeah, it certainly does. I was the same. Yes, I was with my wife, my sister, who are both mothers, and my mother as well. And it was a lovely afternoon after watching the game, which, yeah, you know, it wasn't lovely, let's be quite frank. It was a bit of a grind. Winning ugly, I think, is how you described it there. And I think that's a pretty good way of describing it. Now, those of us old enough to have seen Rangers win more than one league title know that sometimes you have to win ugly. You know, not every game is something you want to hang up in a gallery. Sometimes there are some ugly wins in there. Sometimes there are some lucky wins in there. I wouldn't have described today as lucky. I think you could say we did deserve to win. But at the same time, it was one of these games you think, and the longer it goes on, it's the kind of game where we lose a late goal. This is the kind of game a game that we really shouldn't be. There was a few changes to the starting lineup. Dio Mandy, we knew, wasn't going to play because he's got an injury. Skiv Olsen obviously dropped to the bench as well, and Tav started. Were you surprised at the starting lineup? Did you expect more changes? Did you think he would stick with the team that in the end drew with Celtic, as frustrating as last Sunday was? You know, we did draw with them, we didn't lose. It was only in penalties that we lost the tie. Did you expect more changes than we actually had?
I would probably expected one more change. Nadiri, for me, I thought was pretty poor last week. I'm in full agreement that Chomiti needs a foil up front. I think he operates better with somebody next to him. I'm a wee bit confused when I look at Nadiri in terms of who's playing as the focal striker and who's playing as a hold-up player. I just see that. I'm looking at it today and I'm going, John, I'm going, what is Nadiri playing like a number 10 for? He's not got a great touch. He's bang average. He's not got much pace. He's not got much guile. So I'm thinking, is he getting the wrong way around? I would play him more as a Mark Haitley type and Chermiti running off him. I think Chermiti's got a wee bit more on the ball. I think
Chermiti's definitely got a more talented football player.
Absolutely. He can hold the ball
on what we've seen so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. He can hold the ball up better. His touch is better. And he's definitely got a ton of pace. Nadiri's very one pace for me. So I was looking at it. I was a wee bit perplexed. And I'm going, I think they've got that the wrong way around. I think I'd be playing Nadiri as the, you know, the top striker. And maybe at times, maybe look to play off him. That for me, Nadiri starting today was a wee bit.
Who would you have started? Majowski?
I'd probably gone with Majowski up front. I'm a bit concerned about Majowski because I think it's quite evident that the manager clearly doesn't fancy him. I mean, he brought him on today on 81 minutes. 10 minutes is not a lot of time to go and express yourself, really. And he looked, along with one or two others that come on, as if they were non-interested to me.
Yeah.
And that can happen when you get thrown on the last 10 minutes. Players are pissed off sitting on the bench thinking, no, what am I going to do in 10 minutes here?
But if you're a forward and you're not getting on and the team's not winning, I think you have some justification to be a little aggrieved. At the same time, he hasn't looked anything special when he has played. And he was one of the signings when we made in the summer who I thought, well, that's a good bit of business, actually. He's a guy who'll score goals in the league. He hasn't, like so many of them, he isn't somebody who's impressed me enormously. And I thought it was interesting because clearly last weekend, you could tell Chirmiti was blown. He was done. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised he wasn't changed. In a cup tie, I was really surprised we didn't make that change because he looked done. He played the whole game. He looked like he needed change, and I was surprised it wasn't. Chirmiti, for me, he's hardworking.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely puts a shift in. He closes down. He works hard. Nothing came off from today. He doesn't look like he's going to be prolific. You know, he doesn't look like that type of striker. He looks like a guy who'll work hard for you. He'll put in a shift every game. As yet, I haven't seen a huge amount of skill. I haven't seen you said yourself, you don't know how much kind of pace he's got. I'm not sure either. He wasn't the only one who looked, don't look like he was at full tilt today. But I don't disagree with you. The other changes to Tav starting, how do you feel about that?
Tav starting, I've not got an issue with Tav. I think he's managing him well now. I think he realises he can't do this two or three games a week. And Tav's comfortable right back. I'll be honest, I think we're on a bit of a turnaround with the defence. A few weeks back, I think we spoke about John Souter. Obviously, he looked leaner. He came back into the team and looked really good for about a month. Then he signed his deal. And then he's gone backwards.
Which not interesting happens. Observation, yeah.
Listen, honestly, it happens. I've seen it a million times. They try, I don't know. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I've seen it with players. And you go, they get their contract and they go, I'm not saying he does it intentionally, but they seem to down tools a wee bit and they think, I don't need to really give as much as what I've given the last month. I've got my deal now. I think John Souter was thinking he's going to play week in, week out. But I'll be honest, that substitution, you touched on subs there, John, and Danny Rule, over the last month, has made, for me, a real boob a few times with subs coming on, the timing of subs. And I'm going to make a little comment about this because it's kind of annoyed me because he only brought two subs on the first game against Celtic. And everybody was up in arms about it, rightly so, because the players had run out of steam. Then last week in the cup game, he brings on five subs, and I think that was in his head. I think he's thinking, I'm going to have to bring the five subs on here to keep people off my back. But however, I've got to say, some of his substitutions are questionable for me. I mean, the whole defence last week, I thought, looked more solid than we've ever looked with Sterling, De Giga, Fernandez and Romans. I thought they were solid last week and looked very compact. Didn't look as if they were going to, Celtic were going to break down. I think Celtic were playing for penalties in the end.
Yeah.
Looked like that to me. They were never breaking that back four down. Then he decides to bring De Giga off, who was having a great game. Put Souter on and you're looking for a goal at that point. So he's a bit negative for me. I think a few results away from home, he's been negative as well, which has cost us. And I've got to question some of his substitutions at times. And do you know what? Even in that game where he only changed two subs, I'm thinking, surely he's going to change another sub. Celtic, we were on the ropes at the time. And I'm going, surely he's going to throw in another sub just to kill the game and use your loaf and go, Derek McInnes was an absolute genius at this. I can guarantee you, Derek McInnes would have threw on the three subs, 5 minutes intervals, 15 minutes, and they would have been just stopping the game, stopping the momentum for Celtic.
I know we're not talking about the last two games, but I think you're right. I think both those games, and even the Hibs game, showed some naivety.
Lack of experience.
Yeah. And actually, it was one of these ones where you think, actually, maybe that is he's in his 30s.
He's 36.
He's a young man, he's a young manager.
He's got a lot to learn, but trust me. If that's an old Wiley Fox like Martin O'Neill, I can guarantee you, he'd have been making all sorts of subs the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If your team's right on the ropes.
And just slowing the game and breaking the game. You would expect, I don't think. Yeah, maybe it's different when you're actually standing there. But that for me, I would agree with you entirely. I thought that was, there's a few times, particularly since Christmas, where some of his substitutions and the timing of his substitutions or the timing of not making a substitution has surprised me, has disappointed me, and I think has actually cost us. We're talking about Tav starting instead of Sterling. I have to say, I thought a fit Sterling is probably our first choice right back just now. So I was a little surprised Tav started, actually. I know he didn't play the football game last week. But having missed the penalty, I did wonder whether he would start. So as it was, he started. I actually thought he played quite well.
Yeah.
I don't think Tav played too badly today.
Tav's always gives you, listen, he's always comfortable on the ball. He always wants the ball. He doesn't go hiding. He wants to take the ball under pressure. His deliveries are always good. He is susceptible to that wee mistake defensively, which, at one point he could have got caught. But he was comfortable. Listen, I thought we were comfortable today. I never at one point thought we were going to lose that game. I just thought we played poorly. We won a poor game. It was an ugly game, as I said. I thought the defence were well shackled at the back. As you say, I think Butland only had one stop. Really?
Tav
at right back. Does Egan Fernandez? I think.
Yeah, they look pretty strong.
Really,
a disappointment.
Really strong the last couple of games.
Conceded a goal now in 100. They haven't conceded a goal in 180 games. More than 180 minutes because you had the extra time as well.
Yeah. And Roma's at left back. It's just, for me, he's just looking a class act, that boy.
Yeah.
Not just because he scored today. I've seen him a few times now and I just think, I can't get enough of the boy. I think he's used to the ball, he's decision making, and he's just got it for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think from day one he's looked like he is the player we've been missing at left back. Let's go to Romans. Let's just talk about Romans just now then. Certainly, I think it's fair to say him and Chukwuanna have been the two. Of the four that come in, they're the two that have looked most impressive. And I think of the two, I think Romans is the one that has impressed the most. Today was a good goal for a whole variety of reasons. One, obviously, the importance of getting the 3 points. It was the difference between the two teams in the end. But I also liked the goal. I thought the very fact that he was there, it reminded me a little bit of Tavernier, two, three, four seasons ago, appearing at the back post, nobody picking him up, ghosting in. It was actually quite a nice finish as well. Ferrelli wasn't too far out. He still had to finish it. Still had to get it past the keeper, who had a decent game, actually.
Yeah.
And it was quite a nice finish. He's obviously been given license to get forward. You do wonder, you look at a player like that, and he's playing, was it Westerlo he was playing? From what I gather, they're not particularly big Belgian side. They're not one of the teams that you would be expecting to challenge for the title. And you do wonder just how many players of that quality are in these types of leagues, are just sitting in teams, to be found, because he's only been with us for a month and a half or so, but he does look a real find.
Yeah, he's done well. I know, obviously, Kevin Thirlwell has moved on. He's now working for the English FA. But obviously, Dan Purdy's kind of technical director. And obviously, they've took on Stiggy Bionby, ex-Liverpool player. So I know he's got a contract for 6 months. Spoke to him personally. And he is basically scouting that Scandinavian market for us.
Right.
And seems to be doing well. As in, he's got feelers out in Denmark, Belgium, all those areas. Hence why you look at what's coming into our market now is that kind of player from Denmark or Belgium, which suits us, the sensible prices. It's not mad money. And they're technically decent. Although Olsen, you could argue that in a minute. He's obviously a technical player. I'm just... I think he's another one for me. I just don't know if he's up for the physicality of the Scottish game. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been disappointing. Obviously, he didn't start today. He has been disappointing. I don't know how much football he played this season. I remember looking when we signed him, and he hadn't played a lot of football at Wolfsburg, I think he was at.
Yeah.
Having played a lot of football in Belgium, his move to Wolfsburg hasn't really worked out. Hasn't played a lot of football. I don't know if it's just a rustiness there. I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if it's just something else going on. His crossing is quite good. He just doesn't seem to do it often enough. And it was no surprise when he didn't start today. Gassama did start. And Gassama's one of these players who looked like he was going to set the world on fire at first and has just really fallen away. And actually, suddenly now the right-hand side of our team looks far weaker than the left. It's strange how these things shift as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. But neither of the two of them look to be in good form. Nothing seemed to come off for Gassama today. I thought he worked hard, but nothing seemed to come off.
No.
He just wasn't happening for him. Should he be on the right, or do you think he is a far, far more effective player starting on the left and cutting in?
I think it's very evident in the games that he's performed. He definitely does well off the left flank as opposed to the right. Any time I've seen him on the right, it's few and far between that he gets past a player on the outside and gets a cross in. In fact, his end product, to be honest, the last few games has been absolutely diabolical. I mean, I think that was probably his worst performance today, and he took off. He looks a boy that's just lost confidence. And definitely for me he's better on the left, but that right side is a major problem for us at the minute.
Yeah,
I don't see Olsen as a long term player for me for that kind of money that they're looking for. I know they're looking for about £8 to £9 million for him.
Yeah,
not for me.
There would need to be some spectacular change in form over the next few years for that to be the case.
And the right side is a problem. I kind of thought about this today, and I actually thought they were going to change it up a bit today. I thought they might have gone with something just a little bit more. I know the setup is going with this 4-2-2-2. It's not really; it's a conventional 4-4-2.
Yeah.
You can throw it at the back across the midfield was obviously Gassama, Raskin, Chukwuane, and Moore.
Yeah.
I'm just in my mind now. I'm thinking. Gassama's not doing it. Olsen's not doing it. I think we need to look at another option. Another option for me could be bringing Moore on the right. Mikey Moore can play anywhere.
Yeah,
that boy, he's got so much talent. You can just let him roam on the right and just say, look, go and do your thing. If you want to pop into the 10, into the holes, just go and do your thing. Because he's my best player offensively. You could look at him on the right-hand side with Raskin and Chukwuane in the middle of the park. On the left, you could have Romans at left back, and I'll tell you what, I would take a punt on Magoma on the left. I think he's good going forward, and that
you'd push him. You'd push him up a
base. I'd look at that now. I'd seriously look at that now, just for better balance. And I think the right side is a problem. I'd be looking at maybe just getting Moore a chance on the right, As I said, he'd be comfortable playing anywhere. You know?
Does Ant-Man fit into your thinking at all?
No, not for me. There's a few of them. I could go through a list now, John, and I'll get shot at him. It's time to just get the gun out and be ruthless and get rid of these players. Asgard's another one. Not for me.
Yeah, no, I don't like Asgard's not for me either.
I see him today, honestly. His body language, he does my head in.
Yeah. And the thing about Asgard is he has everything.
He's got the ability.
He's got the physique, he has the ability,
yep. The
right age. I understand exactly why we signed him, but he has the heart of a mouse. And he just doesn't look interested at all.
No, there's no fire in his belly whatsoever. And it's frustrating. That is very frustrating because you look at his technical ability, as you say, he's got his size, his stature, he's got a lot of good credentials. But I'm afraid if you play for Glasgow Rangers, your main credential is effort, application. That's got to be top notch. And if it's not there, you'll get found out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is frustrating. And going into the sharp end of the season now, you know, scoring goals has been a problem for us, and that does need sorted. And I think he has to persevere with what we've got. I would not be against Moore switching wings. I certainly wouldn't be against Gassama being on the left, although, the last few times I've seen him, he doesn't deserve a start. But if I was starting him, I would start him on the left, not the right. But pushing Mahomas forward is interesting. Oddly enough, he was probably reaching his best form when we signed Romans. In some ways, he was a bit unlucky. But having said that, Romans looks a more capable player, and I think offers us more. His goal today, for me, his goal today kind of sums up what you're looking for in a modern fullback. A player who has that physical ability to get into the box and offer help, particularly against a team like St. Mirren, who, let's be honest, are ravaged by injury, are in terrible form themselves, and are probably looking at this game as an attempt. Let's try and at least keep a draw. If we can get a point at this game, we'll see that as a bonus. There wasn't a lot of ambition from St. Mirren today, and I'm not blaming them for that. The situation they're in, the managerless, everything about them. I don't blame them for that. So you do need your fullbacks. You need everybody in the team thinking about attacking. You need that side to.
The other option for him, John, is looking at maybe going three in the middle. I mean, he could still go four at the back. Obviously, nice to see Conor Barron back in today. I love the wee fella.
I was going to come to Barron.
He's not great on the ball, John, and he doesn't give you a bit of guile or that killer pass or. He's never going to score 10 goals a season, but he's honest as his days long. And I think the other option, it could look at probably Raskin, Barron and Chukwuanyi in the middle of the park, with Barron sitting. And that allows Mikey Moore to come into the 10 position behind two strikers. He could look at that as well. That's another option.
I think that's Moore's best position.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll just give him a free rein. Yeah, I think that's definitely his best position. And that was missing today. Guile was what was missing today. It's just some creativity. That ability to just do something a little special. We've been missing that for a few games, probably all season. We've certainly been missing for a few games. And we've become a bigger, stronger team, a team that's hard to score against. We've sorted all that out. But we're still missing that something special. Not to be too negative, I do feel will probably cost us this season. It certainly cost us in the last two games, which were both there to be won. And I have a feeling will probably cost us over the course of the season if we just don't have that enough creativity to be enough of a spark. And I don't really think there's much Roll can do about that. I don't, he can only work with the players he's got. And it's not like you can look at that and say, why are you not giving this one a start or giving that one a start? It means giving them all a try, and it just doesn't seem to be there. That said, to try and put something of a positive on what was a game that was probably only matched by the weather in terms of how miserable it was. That said, we've had a series of draws, series of drop points from in games we should have won. you know, today, as you said, with a poor away record, we went away, we won. We kept a clean sheet. We got the 3 points. Ultimately, I suppose that's all that matters. We touched upon it at the start, Jimmy, you know, winning ugly.
Yeah.
You know, are we being a bit harsh here? Or should we just accept that, you know what, it was a swirling wind, it was an early kickoff, a terrible pitch against a team that were out to try and stop us playing. They were playing five in the back and playing it quite effectively. You know, are we being too critical?
I think we probably are, to be honest. I think it's just through frustration from the last few weeks. Obviously, clearly the results not going our way, particularly in the Old Firm games. But yeah, it wasn't the best conditions for a game today. It's both, same for both teams, as you could argue at that point, but I would just like to see a little bit of guile in midfield. There's nobody really got a killer pass or, you know, just create something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. It's looking a bit pedestrianised again for me, and we're just, as I said, the balance up front is just no, it's just not clicking. Chimiti definitely needs a foil. Nadiri, I don't know, he's just looked a bit leggy the last couple of games. And as I said, he looks to be dropping in, playing as the first striker as opposed to the target man. I'm not really sure he's got that in his locker.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. We're just going to have to see. Aberdeen at home next week.
Yeah.
What changes do you make? Aberdeen are obviously, well, they should be on something of a high, having a new manager at last. You know, Robinson is clearly experienced. He's clearly a guy who understands Scottish football pretty well. You know, he's got a lot of games in Scottish football under his belt. You know, Aberdeen are devoid of confidence. Clearly, I'm not playing well. They got a point yesterday. They always lift a game against Rangers. And Robinson, St. Mirren, used to give us problems. You know, he'll come to make life difficult. Are we going to face the same challenges as we faced today? I mean, Aberdeen are not going to they're not going to play expansively.
No.
You know, and this lack of creativity, how do you address that in a week? Can you address that in a week?
It's difficult. I just don't know if the player's there to play that way. We definitely need a ball-playing number six, somebody who can really get the ball off the back four and build up play. And I'm not just meaning like a Conor Barron type or Chikwani, who are decent at what they do, but they've just not got that extra gear. That's someone that's, you know, that's just really going to boss the midfield. I touched on it earlier in the season, and there's a boy who plays for Motherwell, Elliot Watt. Honestly, you'd probably get him for pennies compared to what some of the other players are on.
Yep.
I've seen another boy today at centre back, Gogic, outstanding again. I think Barron, I'll have to say, Manny Fernandez for me has really improved. I think he's come on to a ton. He's looking at a player now. I think he looks flourished. I think he looks a real commanding centre back now.
Yeah.
He's still got that wee wobble in him that you go, come on, oh, don't mess about, you know, but he's looking a player now. And Carter Vickers for Celtic is injured and has been for a while. Barry knows too. Alex Gogic for me is the best centre back in our league. His hands down is better than John Souter. I don't mind saying that on here. I'd have Alex Gogic over John Souter all day long. I'm not saying I'd play him every week, by the way, but I definitely have him on the squad. And he's got a bit of arsehole. He puts himself about. He's running about like Terry Butcher today. Blood all over his head. He's over to the touchline, and I'm laughing. I love this guy because he's old school. He's over at the touchline, no wanting any stitches, slaps a bit of Vaseline in his head. Away he goes, and he's heading the ball the next 5 minutes. Whereas our players, they're all looking for, you know, they're wrapped up in cotton wool, some of the Rangers players. And I've got to say, I watched some of them and I watched the body language. Having played the game myself and been in the game for a long, long time, you know when somebody's out there.
Just
picking up a wage.
We've had this chat before, I mean, you and I, but on Jersnet, we've had this chat before about Gogic. Why is he still at St. Mirren? You know,
I can guarantee you now, you've just touched it. Stevie Robinson, I know really well. I'll guarantee you, Aberdeen will get him at the end of the season. 100%. Yes. That'll be his first signing. I guarantee it. because he knows what he gets every week at him. He rolls his sleeves up, 100%, and he organises the defence. He goes and puts his head on a stick, wins everything, organises that defence. And listen, it's no. That just shows you St Mirren have won a cup this season. They're in a semi-final against Celtic. Yeah. And trust me, Alex Gogic is a massive part of that. You take him out of that St Mirren team, they would struggle.
Yeah, every time I've seen St Mirren, and to be fair, I've really only seen them against us, he's always played well.
Yeah.
I was never sure, is it because it's part of a five? You know, he's comfortable playing as part of a five. He goes back to a four. Does he struggle a little bit? I don't know. Mm-hmm. He was at Hibs. He was at Hibs for a while, and then obviously he's at St Mirren now. And I'll agree with you. I've watched him a few times. I thought, why is he still at St Mirren? Why is he not? I'm not trying to be disrespectful to St Mirren, but why is he not at Dundee United, who must pay more money than St Mirren do to their players? Why is he not at, you know, a Hearts? Why is he not a team? Because every time I see him, I think, that's a guy that does a really good job. So I wondered if there was something, and, you know, if he'd, if there's an injury in his background or something, the team's just...
I've often questioned it because I've seen him a few times and I go, I don't get why, you know, teams don't take a punt on him.
I'll
tell you what, Stevie Robinson will definitely go for him. Yeah, no doubts in my mind about that.
Hopefully he doesn't do it by next Saturday.
No.
We touched upon him very briefly. One of the plus points today, one of the pleasing aspects today was the return of Conor Barron. Yeah. Now, Barron, I thought, had really come on to some form before he got injured. Barron came into the Rangers team initially, looked pretty decent at the start. I thought he kind of fell away, and it just wasn't working for him. And then at the start of the season, I thought he was one of the better performers under Martin. And I wasn't sure if that was just because everybody else looked so bad, but he was one of the better performers. Again, I think he kind of lost his place in the team a little bit, but he came back into that midfield and you know, it really looked like Rowe was trusting him, and he was playing really well before his injury. You know, we don't have a lot of midfielders. You know, you could probably say we've got four central midfielders. Your man is injured now. I don't know for how long. Just how important is the return of Barron? You know, just how important is that to the squad and to the team?
I think it's important. The wee fella brings the energy. He's honest as the day's long. He's tidy on the ball. As I said, he does lack a wee bit of guile.
Yeah, he's not going to win you. He's not going to win. He's going to set up. He's not going to set up the winning goal. He certainly isn't going to score it. But he might stop the other team doing that.
Yeah, he's quite good at that. To be fair to him, he puts in a shift every time when he fell, and he does cover blades of grass. I've got a lot of time for him. His effort and application is never in question. Just lacks that little bit of quality going forward. But that's for a manager to look at down the road and say, look, you know, I need to get the right mix next to him. Because, you know, you can have two or three midfielders, but I just don't think we've got the balance in midfield at the minute right. I just don't see it ticking.
Mm.
But then it's actually turned in its head a bit, because beginning of the season I'm going, oh no, our defence just looks shocking every week. Defensively, balls in the air we couldn't deal with. Everybody was throwing a ball in the box. Nobody was commanding. That's turned a bit now. We're keeping clean sheets quite regular. And we look defensively organised. As I say, our midfield just doesn't look balanced right. And that right side is a major problem, as we touched on earlier. But central midfield, you're dead right. We've got Barron, Chikwane and Raskin. Diamandi's obviously injured at the minute, so he could come into the play there.
Raskin, which, you know... Raskin nearly scored today, a nice header. Just not quite on target. You know, he was busy, as he always is. Do we get enough from Raskin? Does he create enough for us? You know, he's a player that sometimes can come in for a bit of criticism from the support, because I think there's an expectation of more from him. What's your views on Raskin, not just today, but more in general, but certainly looking at the last few weeks?
I think he's always, you know, he's a trier. He never downs tools and stuff like that. But I think he gets sucked into a little bit of a situation in the Celtic match a couple of times. Lost his focus in terms of his own game.
That's interesting.
Getting into a little bit of a debate with the right back, Araujo. I've seen a few times and I'm thinking, you know what, just concentrate and use your energy on the park and put yourself about. You'll always get time to go and deal with him. Don't try and make yourself a big man when you're not. You know, if you want to go and do him right in a tackle. Stop all this nonsense, shouting in people's ears and having discussions in the tunnels, and that's kid stuff for me. But he's no doubt got ability, Raskin. He played a little bit further forward today. I do like him as an eight rather than a six. I don't think he suits sitting in front of the back four. He's tidy on the ball, but I think he gives you more going forward.
It's a nice cross. It was his cross for the goal.
And he's 31 minutes. He puts a great cross in the box. It was a lovely ball, actually.
Yeah.
Well done. And it beat everybody into the danger area. And obviously, Romans taps it in on the volley. There was a decent ball. But I like Raskin. I think he's got a lot about him. He does come in for a little bit of criticism now and again. But listen, when you play for Rangers, that's what you expect.
Yeah, you know, I think players tend to come in for criticism when the team's not playing well and not winning. And winning helps us overlook a multitude of sins. And you know, today we won, so I suppose we should be happier than we are. And, you know, I look at the league table just now as, you know, it does make interesting reading. You know, it's focusing on it's the most exciting, blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. There's literally 3 points now between Hearts, who are top, and Rangers in third. We're on the same goal difference as them. Celtic are a point ahead of us on poorer goal difference. Celtic in slightly better form. 1-1, lost, draw, 1-1, as opposed to us. 1, drew, 1, drew, 1. Whereas Hearts now get 3 losses in the last 6 games. You know, we've got 3 games coming up. Dundee United, after Aberdeen next week, Dundee United away, and then Falkirk away.
Yeah.
And then I think there's an international break after that.
That's right.
You know, if we've any pretensions to this title, that has to be 9 points. You know, Dundee United are nothing special. Aberdeen are nothing special. Falkirk are having a good season, but you know what? If you want to win a league, you need to go to places. I was going to call it Brockville there to show my age. You need to go to places like Falkirk, whatever their ground is called these days, and get 3 points. So, you know, we're at the point now where Hearts have let their lead slip, despite what's happened in the last couple of games against Celtic. I still think that's the poorest Celtic side I've seen in decades. And literally...
Yeah. I totally agree.
It drives me wild that we were unable to beat them in those 2 games, because I really think that's not a great Celtic team just now. That's a very, very... a shadow of some of the teams I've seen over the last 10 years or so from Celtic. And the fact that we've let them get into the position they're in, it does frustrate me. But hey-ho, let's not focus on that just now. We can only focus on ourselves. If you were a betting man... Jamie, you know, how do you see this playing out now? You know, what do Rangers need to do to win this league? Do you think they can? Do you think we've got enough in our locker? If I said to you, you've got to put your house in somebody just now, are you putting it on Rangers?
Oof, it's a big ask. Listen, they're certainly in the shout. The results of kind of last night's results, Kilmarnock beating Hearts.
Yeah.
Was a big upset.
So did you see any of that?
Yeah, I saw it. I was just going to touch on the wee lad.
Yeah, he didn't look too bad.
Did well. Yeah, had a good shot, hit the post, put some decent balls in the box. And Neil McCann and Billy Dawes will be delighted getting him on board, because he's a wee threat going forward. And I'll tell you what, we touched on that right flank earlier, and you bring these guys, Olsen and that, and you go, Finlay Curtis for me would be every bit as decent coming off the bench, or, you know, giving you minutes. I actually looked at this situation a while back, and I actually spoke to his agent and I said to him, I would look at converting Finlay Curtis into a right back. I don't think he's good enough going forward in terms of ability. And I say this in a nice way. I look at Nathan Patterson and I look at Finlay Curtis and I see a lot of same attributes.
That's interesting.
I think he's tidy on the ball. His effort is never in question. He can cross a ball. He works hard defensively and he's got a good engine. And I see all the attributes. And if I was his agent and I was his coach and first team coach, I'd be taking him aside and saying, you know what? Go and play for Kilmarnock to the end of the season. It probably looks like Tav's going to go at the end of the season. Sterling's never fit to play 3 or 4 games in a row. So I just think they could convert Finlay Curtis. I think he's got that discipline about him. I think if you took him aside and said, look, I would play you every week, but you're going to have to go on that grass with a coach. Even if James Tavernier or somebody like that takes him aside, gives him a bit of guidance and shows him how to play right back, I actually think Finlay Curtis could do a job there. And he's young and he's got a lot of time in his hands. Of course, you know, there'll be times when people go, oh, he's not really doing it, or this and that. You get that with youngsters because they're inconsistent. But I look at all the attributes that boy's got and I think he could do something as a right back.
He's quite slight still. You know, he is built like a, you know, he'll beef out. You know, he is quite slight still. And one of the things that's always impressed me about Curtis is he has an eye for goal.
Yeah.
You know, he does definitely have an eye for goal. But it's interesting. The fact he's getting minutes at Kilmarnock is the good thing.
No, that's he's better getting minutes. There's no doubt about that.
But it's an interesting observation.
Did a wee bit of a favour there. Yesterday, played quite well. And that gets, you know, Celtic are on 61 and we're on 60. So we're only a point behind them, 3 points. You know, and you've got to look at the whole picture of beginning of the season and months ago and you're going, we were actually second bottom of the league at one point.
No, listen, you know,
and we're now back
the job Rolls done since he came in is you know, is commendable. The very fact that we're sitting here talking about challenging for the title.
Yeah,
you know,
I still think there'll be twists and turns. I think there's a massive game for Hearts coming up against Motherwell, the third game in. And Celtic go, they've got a couple of tricky games. I think they go to, they've got St Mirren as well. I think there'll be twists and turns. I think there's still points to be dropped.
From Celtic and Hearts, I think they'll
drop points.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, we have to get and win every game now. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think it is as well. Yeah, I was going to ask you one last thing away from the game, and you kind of almost answered it there without realising I was going to ask you. Tavernier, who came back in today, as we spoke about earlier, had a decent game. Mm-hmm. His contract's up. You know, I read, as sure you do, I read various different opinions from supporters, some of which are well thought out, some of which are very reactionary. Would you give him a renewed contract at the end of the season? You know, bearing in mind, you know, he isn't going to be on the same contract he's on just now, I assume. You know, it wouldn't be as handsome a contract, I wouldn't have thought. Certainly wouldn't be for as long, but you know, he's a guy who, touch wood, rarely gets injured. You know, would you offer him a new contract, or do you think that it's time to part the ways?
That was a debate. It's a debatable one. And I think it's the debate is you sit down with the player and you have to explain that, you know, given the fact you're 34 years old, you're not going to play every week. So is he going to be happy with that? You know, does he want to play every week? Me personally, I'd give him another year and I'd play him bit part. I'd pick and choose his games, and that's not going to be every week. I think he'd be good for the dressing room. I think he'd be good for situations like I just spoke about, giving young players guidance, because he's got a lot of experience. He's played in a lot of games for us, and he's been a great servant. We all know his defensive qualities have never been great. However, on the ball, as you say, he's one of them players that is never injured. He'll play through injuries. There's not many people like that these days.
No.
They're wrapped in cotton wool, and he never goes hiding. And you know what I love about him? Even if he's not playing, he comes on, and he still tries his damnedest.
I never hides. He never hides.
He never, ever spits the dummy.
No.
And he does the job. Is he going to play every week? No, he's not. He's definitely not. And that's the conversation Dan Urio has to have with him and say, look, I'd like you to stay on. However, you're going to play, you know, a third of our games this year. And I'd like you to maybe look at the coaching side as well, further down the line. I think he'd be good at that. He's a great athlete and he's a great professional. My pal is one of the fitness coaches at the team, Craig Flanagan, played in the reserves for Rangers. Me, Flanagan, works for the club as a fitness coach. And he tells me he's second to none. His attitude is immense. He's first in and last away every day. You can tell just the way he is. He's 34. He still looks a machine.
Aye, does he? No, that's the thing. And that can't be overlooked. You know, anybody, particularly an older player, when you're offering them, if you're offering them a new contract, you do need to look at that. And you know, his fitness levels look excellent. Yeah, I'm with you. I actually think, you know, on the right terms, the right contract, I would definitely keep Tav. I think we should be looking for another first choice right back. You know, we should be looking for somebody who's coming into their prime to be our right back for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons. But you know, we need to, and I'm not terribly aware of any young players coming through that we'd be hoping would be the backup. In which case, then I don't have a problem with Tav. And the fact he can cover at centre half, he could cover in midfield.
He's handy to have in the squad.
So there's an adaptability there. And like you, Sterling, I love Sterling. I think a fit Sterling's a great player. But, you know, the fit and Sterling, unfortunately, are two words that don't appear in the same sentence as often as we need them to.
It's a shame because he looks solid at right back. But, you know, and I know he's never going to play every week.
No,
it's always an injury.
I just think it's just I think it's just part of his makeup. Unfortunately, I think there's just issues in his body. All right, well, that's interesting. We're both on a similar agreement there with regard to Tav. Look, I'm going to kind of draw things to a close shortly. We're up against Aberdeen, as I said. We've got you know three winnable games. You know, three winnable games. Aberdeen at home, Dundee United away, Dundee United threw away. I don't know if you managed to see any of it. I didn't see any of it, but I read about it later. The Dundee game today, which they were leading 2-0 until the 90th minute or something, and somehow contrived to throw it. A 96th minute OG, that's fantastic. So, you know, we'll have them after. You know, Dundee United, one of these funny teams, you know, they have given us some problems, but they're definitely winnable. And then Falkirk.
I think that's the game for me. The Falkirk game away will be a real test.
Yeah, the Falkirk game away is the kind of game. I mean, it cost our last manager his job. I mean, it wasn't just that game, obviously, but that was the final nail in the coffin. Falkirk are obviously having a really good season. You know, I think they've exceeded everybody's expectations, including their own. I imagine second bottom would have been they'd have been delighted with the fact they're probably going to be in the top. I think they're definitely going to be in the top six. Now I think is commendable. So a few weeks away, there'll be twists and turns. Like you say, all we can do is keep winning. And even if it's winning ugly, I'll live with that for now, because I think Hearts. Kilmarnock are a funny team for Hearts. Have you ever speak to a Hearts fan? They'll tell you Kilmarnock are always as a funny team for them. That for some reason Kilmarnock's just one. Every club has a team like that. If you speak to Hearts fans, they'll tell you Kilmarnock is theirs. That Kilmarnock just for some reason they have some kind of Indian sign over Hearts and are capable of inflicting some misery on them. However, I do think Hearts are wobbling. I think there's some bit of nerve sitting in there, and
they definitely are.
And we need to be in a position to take advantage of that, because I guess we just got to hope that Celtic wobble as well, and I think they're capable of wobbling. And that's the best we can do.
Yeah, you know, they've got a couple of tricky fixtures as well. They've got Dundee United next Sunday away from home. Then they go to Dundee. Then they're home.
I know there was a certain age can remember when Hearts go away to Dundee. That must bring back all sorts of horrible moments for some of their older support. So unfortunately, I remember how that league ended that season as well. So I'll not dwell on that. So before I kind of wrap things up, Jamie, you have a couple of things you want to tell us about.
Yeah, I've got a couple of speakers nights coming up that I said I'd give a wee plug. Okay. So do these with kind of ex-players. So I've got a couple of events coming up soon. 31st of May at the Carlton Hotel in Prestwick. I've got a kind of speakers Q&A night with Ian Durant and Bomber Brown. It's coming into the 30th year anniversary of the 9 in a row. So these kind of things are quite popular at this time. I know, alarmingly,
that's 30 depressing.
Years ago. Wow. And I spoke to the old gaffer, Graham Souness, the other week there. And I couldn't believe when I was speaking to him, it was 40 years ago that he had came into to charge at the Rangers. So aye, John, time flies, mate. I'm that's like, wow.
So give us that date again for
Sunday the 31st of May at the Carlton Hotel in Prestwick.
Is that an afternoon thing or an evening thing?
It's 3 till 7.
Perfect. How do folk get tickets for that?
It's on their website, on their Facebook and everything like that. So,
the Carlton Hotel in Prestwick.
Yeah, and that'll be a good day out. I've got another one on the 5th of June down at Irvine Meadow Juniors Football Club as well. Born and bred in Irvine. So my dad actually played for that team as well, Irvine Meadow.
Was it Meadow? Is that how they call it? Meadow?
They call it the Meadow. So yeah, it'll be a bit of a close one for me, family and stuff like that, all going to this. So okay. That'll be quite good. So I've got, that's Friday the 5th of June for 7 o'clock. Okay. Onwards in at the club, in their bar. So we've got Derek Ferguson and Charlie Miller coming to that one.
Okay.
So that'll be
a quiet night for everybody then.
Oh, absolutely. With those two. I think that could be a lock-in that night. And then I've got 19th of July is another one from it's actually the Fitzsimmons Hotel Group that own the Carlton and the Riverside in Irvine. They've got another one 19th of July. That's another Sunday from 3 o'clock till 7 as well. Got Durant, Mark Haitley, and those guys coming along there. So, right, it's all on their website and stuff like that, and their Facebook. So, yeah, it's something to look forward to. It's good crack with the lads. You get good stories about Gascoigne and all that. You get a good banter, you know. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Great memories from these guys. So, that's great. So, just give us those dates one more time, then, Jamie.
Yeah, that's the first one again. Sunday, the 31st of May.
In Prestwick.
Yeah, that's in Prestwick at the Carlton Hotel. And then we've got Friday the 5th of June down at Irvine Meadow Football Club. And that's 7 to 11. I'm saying 11, but with Derek and Charlie, that could maybe venture into the wee small hours of the morning. And then the 19th of July is at the Riverside Hotel in Irvine with Mark Haitley and Durant. So,
Is an Ayrshire or fancies visiting Ayrshire on those dates, then that sounds like a good nights and good afternoons. Anyone who's interested.
Let's hope we're celebrating a league winner.
Well, indeed. Look, stranger things have happened. Let's be honest.
We're in the mix, that's the main thing.
And all we can do is dust ourselves down and keep going. 3 points today. 3 points is we would have accepted 3 points, we would have accepted an ugly win. And that is exactly what we got. So let's see what we can put together over the next few weeks. Let's keep winning ugly, I'll be happy. Listen, thanks for your time tonight.
No problem.
I appreciate you getting up with us on the night. And I'll let you get back to your Mother's Day. I'll just remind everybody else that the podcast can be found on a variety of different platforms. Acast, iTunes, YouTube, Castbox, Stitcher, and of course Spotify. Do please subscribe so you don't miss any of our shows. Our next show will be on Friday night, and Frankie's bringing out the big hitters on Friday night. It's Craig and Colin up on Friday, and they'll preview the Aberdeen game and any news and anything that's happened through the week. So between now and then, please visit the forum, keep an eye on our socials, which Frankie keeps up to date. And for everybody else, thanks for listening and good night.